Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
An infectious disease expert, longtime friend of the show, Dr. Michael Osterholm, is kind enough to make his regular appearance with us. He joins us every Wednesday right around this time. It's 107 on CCO. Mike, always a pleasure. I want to open with the same question that I opened with last week. What do you now know about Omicron that you did not know 1 week ago today, sir? Glad to have you on board, as always.
Well, thanks, Chad. Good to be here with you. Three different things that we have learned, I think, over the past week. Number one is that this virus is highly transmissible, much more so than Delta, maybe 4 to 5 times more transmissible than Delta. And Delta was, as a variant goes, highly transmissible. So we're seeing remarkable transmission around the world. As I said a week ago, I thought this would be around the world by the end of this week, and it is. I'm convinced of that. And it's in most states, if not all the states of the United States. We're beginning to see it really take over in several countries in Europe where they've already started to have major outbreaks within that country. So it's here. The second thing in terms of serious illness, this is the big question we had last week and one that I've been raising about just how serious are the illnesses associated with Omicron. And then one of the challenges with that is among who? Is it among people who have previously been vaccinated, among people who have previously had infection and have some immunity from that infection? And I think the general consensus is right now that we don't have any evidence that it's a lot of severe illness. I think we still have a ways to go to confirm that, particularly when we see it in older individuals, people who are immune compromised, people who have not been vaccinated or previous infection. But everything right now points to the fact that it is not as serious. And then in terms of protection, as you've been hearing about, we do have this immune evasion, basically, where the mutations allows the virus to escape some of the protection that we get from being vaccinated or from having previous infection. And we're seeing a really major impact in terms of if you only have a very low level of antibody on board, the chances that the virus may evade that are pretty high. If you have a lot more, like someone's fully vaccinated and has a boost, you surely still have a challenge, but it may mean that you didn't only have a mild illness at the most and not a serious life-threatening illness. So all three of these, transmissibility, the issue around severe illness, and just how much of the immune system response it evades are still all works in progress, but we're getting more information.
Okay, so let me stay with that part and pick up on a story I saw in the last few hours, and it's about Pfizer. I'll raise my hand. I'm a Pfizer person. I received my booster last week. This is out of AP. The Omicron virus variant partially escapes the protection offered by the Pfizer vaccine, but people have been previously infected and the vaccinated are likely to be well protected. Researchers working in South Africa reported this week. Is that pretty much what you had just said? And for those of us who are in the Pfizer category, should we have any greater concern that those receive different vaccines?
Yeah. Well, first of all, let me just be really clear. At this point, I think the distinction between vaccines is a bit artificial in terms of what information we have. Most of the people in South Africa received the Pfizer vaccine in terms of their vaccination status. So that's what we're naturally looking at. I think ultimately we'll find that there's going to be comparability between all the vaccines, and if you're fully vaccinated, meaning all three doses and your booster. I think the bigger distinction is going to be how much vaccine do you have on board. For example, with Moderna or Pfizer, did you have only two of the doses, or did you get that third booster dose? That's what's probably going to be the big determining factor. So just think of it as you want to get as much antibody as you can. So when the virus basically neutralizes a bit of it, there's still enough left there to really give you protection. And so I think the data, not just from Pfizer, but there was a major study released yesterday from South Africa itself looking at this issue, supporting the fact that if you are fully vaccinated with the booster dose in particular, or you've had previous infection and vaccinated, you probably have pretty good protection against getting seriously ill and dying. Now, there is one caveat to that that I have to put in there, and nobody seems to want to talk about this part, is the fact that we already knew that for some people who have underlying immune deficiencies, some people are undergoing cancer treatment, et cetera, the vaccines are helpful, but they still have only limited ability to protect you from serious illness. We know, for example, among people who have received organ transplants, that they have a reduced response. This is with Delta, let alone this one. And so I still worry about how we bubble and protect some people who the vaccine is good, but it's not great. Whereas for many of us, it's a very, it's a great thing. But so we still have to be mindful of that.
Well, I'll just admit this for me. We had a serious COVID concern yesterday, and I have somebody in my life who's immune compromised and somebody close in my life who's battling cancer. So there's a lot of stories like that where it's very unique that way. So just one more Pfizer one, because just there were a couple of Pfizer stories that stood out. When the chief scientific officer for Pfizer was on CNN this morning, said the antibodies rise 25-fold and are now similar to the original two dose in talking about the booster. Is that too dramatic to say that the antibodies rise that type of increase, 25-fold?
Oh, no, it surely could. The problem is one of the studies out of South Africa yesterday saw a 41-fold reduction in protection with this virus.
Yeah.
In relative to the antibody. So it's still relative. At the end of the day, you want to have more antibody there than you need to protect you from getting serious illness, okay? And so when we get into, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, it's all relative. And then there's variability in these tests. So I don't put as much stock in those. What we're going to really know in terms of what it does is when we follow people over the course of the next few weeks and to see those who have been previously vaccinated, those who have previously had infection with or without an additional vaccine dose, how do they do? And the problem we're going to have here is that there's such widespread transmission of this virus. It is going to move quickly. Then, in fact, we're going to have opportunities to study this. Now, the redeeming piece to all of this is, if the Omicron variant does cause much less severe illness and it beats out Delta, which right now is extracting a terrible price in here in our state, but around the country right now, case numbers are dramatically rising. Deaths are rising again. Wouldn't it be something if Mother Nature gives us a virus that actually minimizes serious illness and it beats out the one that's killing us? That's a possibility. I don't want to say it's going to happen, but we're sure looking at that closely and think, boy, that would be a gift.
That would be stunning, right?
Well, it would be something that I would consider a gift that I surely will not look the gift horse in the mouth. I tell you, this would be something if we could get it. But I don't know that's going to happen, but at least we're looking at that very carefully and saying, what if this virus could beat out Delta, knock it down and out, and at the same time not extract the same horrible price that Delta is?
Mike Osterholm is with us. Mike, I get these texts every single time you're on about, is it the VAERS government website or is it V-A-E-R-S, where it shows that tens of thousands of people have died from the vaccine itself. What do you say to those people who believe that?
That's absolutely simply not true. And I don't think you can say it enough times that people are going to ever necessarily believe if they believe it is. VAERS is basically a surveillance system that was set up by the CDC and the FDA to ask people who have been vaccinated that anything that happens in their life in the next 30 to 90 days to report it. So technically, if I'm killed in a car accident, I should technically report that, okay? And when we look at any one given day, you know, if you look at the number of people who are, say, 65 years of age and older, how many die from heart attacks every day or strokes? That's what is, you know, the life insurance business. That's what actuarial life insurance is all about, anticipating that and being able to price mm-hmm. it. Well, with VAERS, you have to report everything. So if, in fact, I was vaccinated today and I had cancer and I died from my cancer 4 weeks later, that would potentially be a VAERS report somebody would make. Had nothing to do with cause and effect with the vaccine whatsoever. And again, we keep coming back over and over again that there is no evidence. Good example right here in Minnesota of somebody who has died from the vaccine. But we've had a number of people who have died after they got vaccine. Think about it. Who have we been vaccinating at the highest priority? Still 65 years of age and older.
Yes.
You know, it's not unusual in a group, say, of, 100,000 people 65 years of age and older, how many deaths occur every week just as a matter of everyday life that has nothing to do with the vaccine. You know, if they had a drink of water, I could show that water was associated with their death if you use that same approach. And so that's what is hard, is that people continue to share that information as factual, and it is simply not true. Not true. And it's not only not true, but it's dangerous, because we're keeping people from getting vaccinated because they keep hearing this, and then they postpone their vaccination. And those are the people who we see in the ICU just before they get intubated, looking up and saying, I wish I had been vaccinated. And that may be the last words they'll ever say in their life.
Yeah, that's tragic. Yeah, and you laid it out perfectly. Okay, Scott Jensen may be the Republican nominee to run against Tim Walz. He was a part of a debate last night. In fact, Tom Hauser, who conducted the debate, is going to join us a little bit to talk politics. But I know Dr. Jensen again said, I'm not getting the vaccine because I have natural immunity. I'm getting a number of texts. I'm sure some of it's tied to Dr. Jensen speaking out last night saying, hey, if I had it and I have natural immunity, why should I get the vaccine? Because some are telling me that the natural immunity is more powerful and it stays with me. I know this isn't the first time we've talked about it, but it is a question that's raised also frequently.
Yeah, it's simply not true. And again, it's unfortunate that somebody from the medical profession would continue to spread disinformation. We do know that you develop immunity associated with an infection, but that in fact, and we have ample data to support that when you get an additional dose of vaccine, you actually greatly improve the likelihood of not having a reinfection. Right now, we are seeing many reinfections with Omicron in South Africa for people who were previously infected with Delta, and they're now breaking through with Omicron. The data are clear and compelling. And what you heard earlier from the Pfizer company's research is that people who had previous episodes of infection and then got vaccinated are the ones that had the protective antibody that basically still was there after, you know, testing it against the virus. So let me just be clear. No one is debating whether if you had natural infection, you got infected, do you still have some immunity? Yes, but it is inferior to the immunity you get with having natural infection and a vaccine dose, at least. I have all along looked at natural infection and the immunity that occurs with it is one dose. Get your second and your third doses, and that's what will really give you the most protection. So I think that to say you won't get vaccinated because you have better immunity is just simply not scientifically supported at all.
Last thing. I read a lengthy story today, and you've written about this before. You've written about this before this pandemic came on, where even after what we've done with this pandemic, that if another pandemic came up 5 years from now, 10 years from now, but right now, that we're not prepared. Are we more prepared because of what we're going through right now?
Yeah. It's just the opposite. It's very painful for me to say this because, as you know, I've been trying to promote pandemic preparedness for the last 25 years.
Yes.
And what none of us could have anticipated, or maybe we should have, and we just failed. I failed, was to understand the body politic today. You know, when you have a public health challenge against a virus, it's kind of like, you know, if it were an alien from outer space, we should all be together on it. We should all work together. And we have such a divisive situation going on today, you know, about any public health measure at all. People are fighting it. There, you know, there's a group that greatly resists it. And so, you know, the irony of all this is these vaccines are not, they're remarkable. They're simply remarkable. They're not perfect. They don't stop every infection, but they do have a big impact on how many people get sick, how many people die, how many people transmit the virus to others. And yet we can't get that out there right now because of this body politic divisiveness. That will do in any future pandemic response too. And until we fix that, I don't know what else we can really do to fix our society.
I'm going to pick up on more of that because I agree with you 100% in the next segment. Always great stuff. Always so helpful.
Thank you, sir.
Be safe, and we'll talk next week.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
As good as anybody. We are so fortunate to get an infectious disease expert for decade after decade after decade, Dr. Michael Ostrom. Trust and doctors. Back with that topic in moments. Plenty of excellent texts, which were part of the questions I asked Mike Ostrom. I know I cannot get to everyone. I wish I could. Just not possible. So thanks to all the folks who continue to text us. So this is probably a longer conversation, but I want to get to it in a shorter amount. We can get back to another time because I want to get to our guy, Hauser. Tom Hauser. News with Tom Hauser, by the way. He's now a full-time, part-time WCCO radio employee. Still the main gig at Channel 5 and 45. But you're going to hear more of Tom filling in hosting shows. He should be only on with us. No stealing from the other shows. No stealing Hauser's exclusive here. All the money we pay him. Oh, that'd be zero. Trust with doctors' advice. Right now, 60% of Republicans and also Republican-leaning independents are confident in the important medical advice their doctor gives them. This is down 13% from 2010. Meanwhile, more Democrats are confident in what their doctors are saying, 71%. That's up about 10% from 20 years ago. Okay. 99% of this is driven by COVID. And if you're facing a serious health issue, including COVID, including cancer, whatever it might be, I don't fault anybody for saying, I want to get a second opinion. Right? If it's going to be dramatic medical treatment for you, if it has the potential to alter your life, but maybe end your life, and you want to see another person, no problem. But the idea that your politics has caused you to say, I'm not going to believe Dr. Fill in the blank, who, by the way, I've been seeing for 5, 10, 15, 20 years now, because my party either doesn't believe what's going on in COVID, or my party for sure believes what's going on in COVID, is a sad indictment about our society. You know me. Have your opinions. Be strong about it. How about try facts with them? Always a novel concept. And by the way, don't be afraid to be open-minded, to consume information from all resources. Don't be afraid to call out your own party when you disagree with them. Don't be afraid to agree with the other party. Don't be afraid to be maybe slightly this way or slightly that way. But it's a sad situation that we've been attacked by a pandemic which soon will kill 800,000 people in this country and well over 5 million. And now our own politics is telling us where we believe the doctor more or believe the doctor less. Honestly, we can't separate on something like this. Like, your doctor is not telling the truth intentionally about this. Now, if it's something important, or, by the way, if they haven't been any good, well, if they haven't been any good, why are you seeing them? Or find a way to see somebody else. If it's important, again, go seek out a second opinion. But admit it. Your own politics, pro in believing or con in believing, is dictating this. And that's on you. It's politics should not decide what credibility your doctor has. Tom Hauser, all sorts of credibility outside of his appearances on this show. From Channel 5, Hauser's minutes away. His regular gig is still Channel 5 and 45. We announced this last week. Tom Hauser now will be a full-time, part-time fill-in host. So we bring Mr. Hauser back into the conversation. Do any of the local affiliates still have a helicopter at their disposal? I think he's mesmerized by my question. Oh, there we go. Yeah. I was going to say, there's a lot of people in my life, not just listeners, who put me on mute, Tom. This is not the first time I've heard that response where I say something, I expect a reaction. It's like, okay. You want to start with stop with your shenanigans. Helicopter. Remind me who has a helicopter. Do you guys have a helicopter? No, he just said he was putting me on mute. I think he was there. He was talking. Not sure we need to call him back. But we better now if we hung up on him. Hauser's with us. Bill Guerin, who is the general manager of a team which has the most points in the Western Conference, happens to be from Minnesota. I believe they're called the Minnesota Wild. Bill Guerin is with us at 2:07. In fact, if you have a Wild question, you want to offer something out. I repeated something I've said before. This isn't the first time I've said it. That for an extended period of time, multiple years, Jonas Brodin is the Wild's best player. I will pose that question to Mr. Guerin. He has a number of players playing well. But to me, Brodin, even last year, with Suter, with Spurgeon, even with the young kid, Kirill, I think Brodin is their best player. Chris, do we have an update on the status of Mr. Hauser and his phone?
I believe he is on the line and you are off of mute.
Hello.
You are no longer muted, but as I mentioned, or attempted to mention, that's how many of your listeners like to listen to you.
Thank you. They heard that cheap shot the first time. You just wanted to get it in.
And then you hung up on me. Is that what happened?
You know, I don't think Chris was listening when you said it was just mute. You know, maybe
I was so offended by it, I hung up on him.
Yes, that's what it was. He was defending whatever.
I didn't want you to get mesmerized by the din of the KSTP television newsroom. So I had it on mute until we started the call, and then I forgot to unmute it.
So I was trying to ask you, helicopters. Do we use helicopters much in the local news scene now?
We do. We were the last ones to have our own, and the others were all sharing a helicopter resource, and now we all are. So, helicopters are still very much a part of what we do because so many things in this sprawling metropolitan area, and it's a big state, sometimes you need a helicopter.
Last time you were in a helicopter?
Boy, you know, it's been a while. It's been several years. I remember, can I just tell you a quick story about the first time I was on the 5 Eyewitness News helicopter? I was brand new here back in 1992, if you can believe it. And Roger and I...
Did we have TV back then?
We did have TV. It was in its infancy. And there was a report of some ice fishermen up on Lake Mille Lacs who were stranded on an iceberg or an ice floe that had broken away from the other ice. So they look around, new guy. Roger's going to land on the roof. They're going to Lake Mille Lacs to look for these stranded fishermen. because actually the sheriff's department up there had even requested our assistance, and we often would do that if it would help save lives or whatever. So we go up, and my first time in a helicopter, and Roger is, you know, a former, you know, Vietnam helicopter pilot, you know, been through everything. We get up there, and we're circling around Lake Mille Lacs looking for these guys, and he's got the helicopter, I mean, literally turned on its side, and of course, with my door facing toward the ice.
Oh,
and I'm trying not to look down and kind of looking up at Roger as he's circling around. And it was, I thought it was death-defying, but to him, it was just a Thursday. And it was pretty fascinating, but I do vividly remember my first time on a helicopter, and I haven't flown as much. When I was on the police beat, I was on the helicopter a lot. The political beat, not so much.
Yeah, I would remember that story also. Okay, you moderated a GOP debate last night. I saw your report. We texted a little bit about it. Okay, you know headlines, even when you're in the middle of the debate. Biggest headline out of your GOP gubernatorial debate was?
Well, I thought it was remarkable that all five of them have had COVID.
Yes, I did too.
The five of the six who were up there. Now, I know many Minnesotans have had it, but generally you grab any group of people and you're going to find out maybe one or two of them have had it. But this was all five of them, which just I didn't expect that. I have not had COVID. Have you had COVID?
With you? No.
Mm-mm. No. So, if you get any group of five or six random people, generally, you know, it wouldn't be surprising to have two or three of them had it. All five of them, of the six who were in the debate last night, had it. Two of the five do not plan to get vaccinated. Mike Murphy and Dr. Scott Jensen, who has been very outspoken on that, he thinks that's a personal decision, and he's had COVID and thinks the antibodies will protect him. But just all of their stances, all of them are against mandates. All of them have varying degrees of comfort with getting the vaccine or recommending the vaccine, which is really interesting because in a poll that we're going to start rolling out tonight, a Survey USA poll tonight and then tomorrow more closely focused on coronavirus, 76% of Minnesotans say they have been vaccinated. And so clearly Minnesota is not, by and large, an anti-vax state, which could make it difficult if a Republican tries to run as an anti-vax candidate.
How will they walk that line? Jensen, as you said that. I asked that to Mike Ostrom. Mike Ostrom said no. Once again, he's wrong, that your antibodies are so much better. It's not even close. If you get vaccinated, that no, he's not denying that you get antibodies. That's a given. But that the boost that you would get even from your initial vaccine, let alone a second or booster, there's no comparison. But whether it's Jensen, it's Gazelka, any of the candidates, how are they going to walk this line of we're against mandates, we think walls went too far, but most of them are still going to say, I would think, well, I guess not most, three of five are going to say get vaccinated. I mean, how are they going to balance that when this is a state that clearly believes in vaccinations, and if they're going to win, if they're going to beat Tim Walz, and I think he's beatable, they're going to have to get votes from hundreds of thousands of people who've been vaccinated.
Well, I think what they're going to have to do, in order to win the endorsement, they may be put in the predicament of having to go the largely anti-vax route, because our poll is going to show that still 31% of Republicans surveyed are not vaccinated yet.
That's a big number.
Compared to 11% of Democrats. That is a big fault line. And if they're going to run in for the endorsement, they may want to cater to those more conservative voters who are not vaccinated but who will control perhaps who gets the endorsement at the endorsing convention. But then when it comes to the general election, they may have to pivot to
quickly,
maybe tempering their anti-vax enthusiasm, because as our poll again will show, the vast majority of Minnesotans are either vaccinated or pro-vaccine. It's hard to tell how many of them got vaccinated voluntarily and how many were part of a mandate. But
okay.
my guess
yep.
is the vast majority did it of their own accord. So it's going to be a fine line of catering to one set of voters to get the endorsement and another set to try to win the election.
Tom Hauser from Channel 5 and 45 is with us. Chad Hartman here with you on CCO. Bill Guerin, your guy, the GM of the hottest club in hockey, is with us in about 20 minutes. When I hear $7.7 billion, I think one of two things. I think of your checking account, or I think of the surplus that we now have in this state. How many or how much money, how much of the billions of dollars of that surplus is going back to us?
Well, it depends on how you define going back to you. There will be almost certainly some targeted tax cuts, you know, maybe Social Security tax. There may be tax credits, maybe for education, maybe health care, some of those types of things. Kurt Dowd, the Republican minority leader, talking about a moratorium on energy taxes, including the gas tax, which could be tricky because gas tax money is by law dedicated to roads and bridges, so you'd have to replace that money that is not collected if you do a moratorium like that. So there's a number of things in play, but what I was really surprised by yesterday at the news conference, and I asked them about this, usually when there's a big surplus, and by big I usually mean $2 or $3 billion. I think we once had a $5 or $6 billion, and Republicans immediately came out and said, we need across the board cuts, we need to do this and that. And yesterday, Kurt Dowd, I actually heard him say, we have to be cautious. And
yeah,
that's not generally what Republicans do. They go, look,
yeah.
you collected too much money, give it back. I don't know how it's going to go back. There, not a lot of people at those news conferences yesterday were talking about rebates or the Jesse checks, yeah. as we used to.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that.
Jesse Ventura was governor.
If somebody's listening right now and saying $7.7 billion, that means I need to get X amount of money back to me, a direct check to me. That is not going to happen.
I would never say never. I don't see it. The more efficient way to do it, if you want to be efficient about it, and why would government ever do that?
Yeah.
At tax time, you tell every Minnesotan, or you know, figure out how you want to categorize people. But if you have a refund coming to you, you get an extra $500. If you owe taxes, we'll take $500
yeah.
off what you owe.
Mm-hmm.
That might be the easiest way to do it, but government rarely ever does the easiest thing. And in fact, if they do decide to go the check route, everybody wants those checks going to people's homes with, you know, the governor's name on it.
Yes,
so we can use it
at
election time. But I just don't,
for sure.
Right now, I don't see a big appetite for sending it back because so many people see uncertainty in the economy with the supply chain issues and inflation. But I mean, you would have to have a cataclysmic event to erase a $7.7 billion projected surplus.
Crazy. How did it get here?
Well, I think a lot of it had to do with all of the federal stimulus. I mean, money was
yep.
just thrown at people. I mean, Minnesota, billions of dollars, much of it, you know, going directly to consumers, and in some cases as unemployment, that bonus money that the federal government was giving everybody in certain income levels, and clearly they went and spent it. Although the sales tax revenue was probably the smallest part of the increase in revenue, it was like $821 million, the real big driver was income tax collections because people kept their jobs and people were working hard and the state was collecting their money. That was the biggest
yeah.
driver of this. I think it was
right.
$2.7 billion in additional income tax revenue.
That's a huge number. I mean, that is such
enormous.
A huge number.
So
great stuff.
Look at it and go, and in some cases, rightfully so, we're being overtaxed if you
yes.
have that much money and the rest of the state, as far as we can tell, is not falling apart. So it's not like
no.
you need to spend $7 billion more. So, you know, where do you find the middle ground? And I swear the legislators and the governor will argue more about what to do with a huge surplus than
right.
to do with a huge deficit.
By the way, I agree. If you have $7.7 billion, you are being overtaxed. I don't know how you can overcome that.
It's hard to
great stuff is. No, exactly. Great stuff as always. Thanks, Ben. Be watching you tonight on 4 and on Channel 45 and 5.
And on
I don't
Channel
think you're
five,
on 4.
Tonight at 5, we will have our first Survey USA results, the approval ratings of Biden and Walz in Minnesota. And then at 6, head-to-head poll results between Governor Walz and each of the 6 declared Republican candidates. We will reveal that tonight at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. I will be watching. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Tom Hauser. Good information. Good reason to check out Channel 5 tonight. Who's coming on early next hour? I'll tell you when we come back. Bill Guerin, Wild General Manager, 207. Question or comment for Bill, send a text, 651-461-9226. Laura Oakes, after CBS News, the Potter story, along with the DUI involving Dave Hutchinson, the Hennepin County Sheriff. Two prominent stories taking place today. Standing out to me on the opening statements in the Potter case, and clearly we'll have guests on during this trial, including tomorrow, Aaron Eldridge, opening statement, part of her opening statement, a prosecutor. This case is about the defendant, Kimberly Potter, betraying her badge, betraying her oath, and betraying the position of public trust. And on April 11th of this year, she betrayed a 20-year-old kid. She pulled out her firearm. She pointed at his chest, and she shot and killed Dante Wright. Paul Ng, representing Potter along with Earl Gray, she made a mistake. This was an accident. She's a human being. She believed that she possessed a taser. That's why she said, taser, taser, taser. She did not say gun, gun, gun. Laura certainly will have more details on that. You can always follow us on Twitter. Love to have you do it at Chad Hartman Show. Podcast of the show, Odyssey.com or WCCRadio.com/Chad. Also next hour, some point, a chance to win a 4-pack of Wolf tickets. Any issues with your windows, one way to go, Lindus Construction and Infinity by Marvin Windows.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!